Hello, friends. On today's show, sea lions, baby's first scam spot, Romans like British fishes, and they got this new insulin. That's coming up. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the after times. You get what I'm talking about. So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world. You up for that? Then have a seat. Because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Bound.
I don't mean to bring it down.
Let's bring it down, man.
Yeah. All right.
All right, children, get down. Dance, dance, dance.
Dance, 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 dance. Oh, they gave me two limes. That's very nice of. Or did he just use the same glass?
I didn't notice. To be honest.
Glad my drinking buddy is there for me.
She just licked them all for you and threw them in.
She's like,
yeah, I just
she grabbed it by the rim. Wait, yeah.
I was like, did you make that right? And I licked around the exterior
you
of
go,
the glass.
Yep, tastes good.
Yep, there we go.
Hey, this glass has no lipstick on it. Yet.
Let me change that.
I can solve it.
Hi, everybody. My name is Brett Weaver, and you're listening to Two Beers In, a podcast about hoping that you have safe friends to give you safe drinks.
Safe drinks.
While you talk about safe things.
56 years and counting.
That's right. I'm sure it'll be okay. As I said, I am Brett Weaver. I'm one of your hosts. I'm enjoying a gin and tonic with a dash, just a saucisson.
A soupçon
of Angostura bitters.
And I can see it floating there on top. There.
Yep.
And some limes of questionable
origin.
How
it's supposed to look, right?
Well, sure.
Here's where we add the secret ingredient.
The blood. That's why your co-host, Monica Ballard, am glad that I got a Dos Equis in a bottle.
I watched him undo
the bottle cap, and so there's... But he did give me a line. There might be something in the line. You just never know.
And right across from us, we have our friend, Nails Fells, here.
Yep, I've got a Modelo, and it's not a questionable origin.
Does it have nails in it, too?
No, it doesn't, but it does have a lime, and those are questionable. So
our friend Doug came from Houston and acquired four nails in one tire.
Yeah, four screws in one tire.
I think that's overachieving.
Yeah.
It really is. He's in like, one tire.
If you're going to do
in
it.
One tire, in one all tire. All in one tire.
Wow.
If you're going to do it,
you know,
do it right.
At least, though, it wasn't one nail in four tires.
that's
a really big nail.
No, I mean four nails, but in...
It held the Titanic together.
I hold that same opinion.
You hold to that mental image.
That is a big... damn nail.
There's a lot wrong with your car right now.
That is driving over.
I know. There's so much.
Nail.
There's so much.
Backing up on the other side of the car.
As again, Doug is an overachiever.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So,
three screws. That's not enough.
No.
Well, unlike the four screws that were in Doug's tires, mm-hmm. we have four stories to share with you.
Yay!
And we're going to do that starting right now. Okay. So to start with, and I'm not going to do the sad version. I'll do the sad version on the Patreon.
Please. Okay.
Okay. So sea lion camera crews capture new footage of uncharted ocean floor.
Okay.
So, camera-carrying sea lions have been recruited by conservationists to help map uncharted Australian waters.
Conversationalists?
No, I said conservationalists.
Oh, conservationalists.
Conservationists.
Conservationists?
Still not a word.
I was, you know what?
It's so close to a word.
Fine, I'm going to the dark version of the story. Hey, you remember?
No.
Okay. So I find it funny, camera-carrying sea lions, it's like people had nothing to do with it. It was just so happened there were some sea lions, they dig cameras, and they're like, well, since we got you here,
Yeah, I mean, they're recruited? Yeah.
Yes, they were recruited.
Yeah, okay. How does that work?
Well, it's
do
Australia.
You like it or not?
It's Australia, so, you know.
This guy, the sea lions were like, well, everything on land's going to kill us, so yeah.
And quite a few things in the water as well. PhD student Nathan Angelakis from the South Australian Research and Development Institute, also known as...
Oh.
Sardine.
No, just Sardine.
Sardine.
Though you would think they should find anonymity somewhere
in there.
They
really need to, yeah.
Attached cameras and GPS loggers to Australian sea lions from colonies in Olive Island and Seal Bay. So the animals can access out-of-reach habitats and cover larger areas more quickly than traditional survey vessels, offering a unique insight into marine environments from the perspective of an ocean predator. The sea lions, and I don't have the accent, sorry. The sea lions explored unmapped areas of the ocean, found new reefs, and revealed amazing diverse habitats on the seafloor. And this is kind of connected to the idea of them rebuilding the reefs in that area, right? And they were putting, I wonder if this is the same areas where they were putting speakers in to say, this is what a healthy habitat sounds
hey,
like.
Hey, we've got a healthy habitat over here,
and
over
the
here,
sea lions
here,
are like, hey, well, let's check that out. Yeah.
So I was wondering how in the world they were attaching these cameras.
Yes.
Because sea lions are pretty, they're
you don't really
flexible.
Want to mess with sea lions.
They're pretty flexible.
Sure.
You know?
They're sea puppies.
Right. So they use lightweight cameras glued to neoprene wetsuit material, which in turn was glued to the fur of female sea lions.
All right.
And the cameras were removed after between 2 and 6 days at sea, so the females could return to feed their pups.
All right.
So, yeah.
They're like, sorry, kids, I got to go to work.
No, you don't get to see this.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, this is the dirty. They're cam whores. That's what they are. These sea lions are cam whores.
Now on Sea Lion OnlyFans.
So you get to see lush kelp reefs, dense sponge gardens, and bare sandy plains. The data gleaned from the project will be used by Sardi to inform conservation efforts and marine reserve management. But, Monica, you had said something.
Yes.
Tell me, you watched the video.
I did.
So let's talk about the video.
So in the link that we provide, there's a YouTube video of what it looks like from the camera's view as the sea lion is going around and exploring and things like that. And they had like little titles underneath as to what the sea lion was encountering.
Sure.
So it was kind of like, oh, look, there's a giant cuttlefish. And then the sea lion ate the giant cuttlefish.
it's in my belly now.
Oh, and there's, you know, a pufferfish. Oh, and there goes the pufferfish.
Oh, no, fugu, no go.
And it's kind of like, and then I got this sense of fear for the other animals that the sea lion was encountering. It was kind of like, look, here bottlenose dolphins. And I was like, don't you fucking touch those dolphins.
They're majestic creatures.
They're smiling at you. God damn it. Just swim right past them.
Just go.
God.
Don't eat them.
Run. Well, not run. Swim.
Swim.
Swim, dolphins.
Swim. Fools.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Aquaman, save them.
That's funny. And it's, of course, it says, improving our understanding of how seafloor habitat function and how human activity may change them or has changed them will be crucial if we are to protect these vital ecosystems in the future. So there you go.
Go find the link, watch the video.
Yep.
And be alarmed.
Be alarmed.
Be very alarmed.
Munch.
It's queued up to a certain point.
Yeah, you're like, oh. I love sea pups. For the love of God.
Isn't he adorable? Oh, God.
But then there is footage of a pup joining the mom. Aww. And it's kind of cute.
And then she ate the kid.
No.
And they both ate things together.
She was one of the few creatures in Australia that did not eat her young.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, you've met Australians.
So, Monica, if you scroll down, there's last week's information was on there.
Oh,
so if
yes.
you scroll down,
okay.
you'll get to the next one.
Okay.
And why don't you take that one?
Hang on. Children. Oh, yeah. The Guardian?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So, this story really, really intrigued me, and I love it. Children to be taught how to spot extremist content and fake news online.
Yeah, if only we could get the adults to figure it out.
Yeah.
The perils of fake news were brought into sharp focus this month when misinformation fueled violent far-right riots across the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Now children in England are being taught how to spot misinformation as part of a planned overhaul of the school curriculum announced by Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson. Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland are responsible for setting their own curriculum.
Sure.
And so Phillipson told the Telegraph, it's more important than ever that we give young people the knowledge and skills to be able to challenge what they see online. Our curriculum review will develop plans to embed critical skills in lessons to arm our children against disinformation, fake news, and putrid conspiracy theories.
But the other conspiracy theories
on social media.
The other conspiracy theories, perfectly okay.
Yes,
it's only the putrid ones.
It's the putrid ones you want to look out for.
Absolutely.
Recent far-right riots across the UK have once again shone a light on the dangers and damage that can be caused by fake news and misinformation online.
Mm-hmm.
And we welcome the government's recognition of the need of urgent action in this area. Media literacy already features on the Finland curriculum.
Yes.
Which teaches children how to identify propaganda and fake news.
What makes sense.
Yes.
Makes
Hopefully
sense.
We can transplant some of that curriculum knowledge.
I don't know. Sometimes I think it's a feature, not a bug.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've got their government trying to crack down on it because it comes from the outside. Are we going to have the same kind of thing?
Right.
You know, is our government going to try to crack down on
Wait,
it?
Wait, we're not talking about politics. This
no,
is a show about politics.
This is a show about feeling good.
Feeling good.
Yeah, getting information is, you know, important in the world.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely something I've been thinking about recently.
Getting some information?
Where to get good information and how not to go, oh, well, that's your information. And, you know.
This just in. We're finally sponsored by Ground News.
Yes. No. Hey. Thank you, PolitiFact, for sponsoring our show today. Yeah. Let's go ancient. And it really it's really funny that I got the mistake when I did this whole article and misunderstood
it's
what was
like,
being
what?
Said. And then I go looking through the article to go, where's the thing that it's saying in the beginning? And then I went, oh, it's not saying that, it's saying something
so,
completely different.
It's not misinformation, it's misunderstanding.
It's Miss Brett information.
How can you get right information if you can't read it anyway?
Exactly. So 2,000-year-old Roman mosaic floor decorated with sea creatures discovered in England. And I'll just add.
Where?
Not New England.
Where?
England.
England.
That's where
it,
the problem
it is new,
was.
Right?
I kept going, that's amazing. In New England, there's sea creatures that they're putting on the floor from New England. That's a whole... Oh, that's not what it is.
The Romans were in New England?
Yeah.
I mean, we knew the Vikings were there.
I'm just saying...
The Vikings, the Puritans.
How much cooler of an article would that be?
This is true.
Okay,
is
now true. We're misinformation.
Yes.
I love it.
So,
no, we don't want to.
Anyway.
A
remarkable 2,000-year-old Roman mosaic was uncovered during excavations at the Roxeter Roman city, which also uncovered an ancient building and shrine. The Roman presence in Britain is often referred to as the high water mark of the Roman Empire, while the decline and eventual abandonment as something like the receding of the tide. So they're obviously because...
Yes.
There's poetry in this.
Yeah, it's nice. As the tides of empire receded... Let me do it again. As the tides of empire receded from the England Shropshire near Wales, they left behind a stunning mosaic of fish and other sea life made from green, blue, yellow, and red tiles that had just been seen for the first time in centuries. So, okay, I'll get rid of that.
Well done. Thank you. Well done. Recent
excavations on the largely unexcavated Roman city of Roxeter turned up the foundations of the settlement's main building. One of the best preserved examples of Roman city in Britain, Rexeter, or Viriconium. Did I get it?
Viriconium. So Rexeter was originally known as Viriconium.
I'm taking a victory lap.
Well, be careful. This place is dark.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Wonk. There, he's done.
Oh, and by the way, we're at Barflies instead of Barflies. Yeah. Okay.
At its height, the city would have contained over 200 houses, a civic bathhouse, marketplace, county hall,
Hall,
okay, and judicial center.
It's dark here.
Yes.
So it goes on and talks about all of that. It's like Rexeter contains the largest freestanding Roman wall remaining in Great Britain, and remnants of the public baths have also survived through the ages. The whole site, which saw 20 aspiring archaeologists join in on the project, was reburied to protect it from oxidative damage and weathering. So sea fish and sea life were common motifs in mosaics made by the Romans and several of their contemporaries. For example,
what?
Carthage. The museum in Monastir. Did I get that right? Tunisia contains one of the most impressive collection of classical mosaics outside the Roman world, and sea life is depicted on many of them.
Like SpongeBob?
I'm thinking the whole thing is Bikini Bottom. That's all really right. What it is.
Yeah. Lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Yeah.
On the air, 25 years, never seen an episode.
You need to. You really need to. Come on.
Okay.
The name of the area.
Yes.
Is Bikini Bottom.
Yes.
And the name of the restaurant is the Krusty Krab. Come on.
Okay.
It's definitely for kids.
It's very much for kids.
They got away with some stuff.
What's the bar in Family Guy? The clam?
The thirsty clam?
Thirsty clam.
It's, right.
Yeah. All right.
It's all dirty.
Giggity.
So our last story, here's the thing, is once again, we're kind of getting outside of my little slight rule, which is, like the little rule, which is, hey, if it's a medical thing, let's see results first, but this is really cool. So it's maybe not.
So you're going to wing it.
Yep.
Go.
The new smart insulin can transform type 1 diabetes management.
Okay.
The innovative insulin closely mimics the body's natural response to change in blood sugar levels. So it's a whole new way of doing it. Instead of just having a thing that like, hey, my blood sugar is low. Okay, let's give you that insulin. Don't take too much. This is one where it's
kind
regular.
Of like an insulin pacemaker type thing?
It's almost like a little smart machine of, like a chemical machine that says, oh, it can tell when levels get low, and it's already in the bloodstream, and so then it adjusts
so
one way or the other.
So it stays inactive until it's needed,
yes.
And then...
And this was created by Veranos, right?
Yes. And then suddenly you explode. So the type 1 diabetes grand challenge, it ended up that there's a few different organizations that are working on this.
Not all of them.
So they gamified it. So they gamified it, basically.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
And said...
And maybe offered a prize.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So the scientists developed smart insulins have received millions in grants to accelerate their work. This funding is provided by the Type 1 Diabetes Grand Challenge.
Thought there was a contest.
Yeah. And it's a collaboration between Diabetes UK, JDRF, whatever that is, and the Steve Morgan Foundation, which invests £50 million into advanced research to discover new treatment for type 1 diabetes.
Now on ESPN 38.
Yeah. So there's six projects under this initiative.
It's not very action-filled. It's just basically like a C-SPAN camera set up in a lab.
Yeah.
Well, with he's a got bunch that of dropper in there. And, oh, it turned blue. Did you see that?
Oh, my God. And he's putting it in that whirly thing. Yeah. There it goes.
We got those there it goes.
What's the name of that whirly thing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't. You know, we'll come back to thing, that. Yeah. We'll come back to that. Like, what kind of color commentator are you?
Right.
Hey, this is about science.
That's
we
right.
Don't, it's
that's right.
a whole
he
new thing.
He doesn't know what a centrifuge is, and I'm not telling
him. I'm a color commentator. I'll tell you when it turns blue
yeah,
what that
exactly.
means.
Look at the thingamabob. It's not actually called the thingamabob. I don't care.
We need a new crew.
So four of these projects are working on glucose-responsive insulins, or GRIs. These insulins only activate when blood glucose levels are too high, preventing hyperglycemia, and deactivate when levels drop too low, avoiding hypoglycemia. So another project is developing a new type of insulin that acts ultra-fast and short-acting. Even the fastest current insulins have a delay before they start working, which can lead to unsafe blood glucose
hard.
Levels. Faster insulins are also needed to improve insulin pumps and hybrid closed-loop systems that adjust insulin in real time. So the final project is focused on creating a protein that combines insulin with
glucagon.
Another hormone. Hormone. And
so the Impossible Burger.
I'm sure the next time that I'm watching a news program, you know, I will see an ad for glucagon.
I don't know. Why would you put con in any name of a thing? Sure, it'll work. It's almost as good as Ambivula.
Ambivula. I took some, but I just don't care.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
What does it do? You know. So
I may take it. I may not.
So if they,
I'm on Fuckatol.
These three exactly. So, you know, let's hope, since there are those of us who have trouble keeping control of our sugar levels and got that sugar blood, the sweet blood. I'm right on the edge of having sweet blood.
Because right now it's mostly gravy.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
great. Right.
Shh.
Bad news, Brett, your blood's a solid.
Yeah. Guess what? We're putting it over rice. Yeah, great.
And a biscuit.
Oh, man.
This went well.
Let's talk a minute about Patreon.
Sure.
Things are changing.
Nice transition.
Great segue.
I'm just trying to get through it.
It's been a hard last minute.
Yeah. So changes are happening to Patreon. If you are, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it now, if you are giving money to us through Patreon, first of all, thank you.
Yes. Thank
but
you.
If you're giving money through Patreon on the app on your Apple phone, let's change that.
Yeah.
Because very soon they're going to be taking 33%.
33%.
Woo. Just because.
Yep.
Because they're Apple.
So the solution to that is get the hell off of that and just open up a browser and do it that way.
Yeah.
And then also thank you.
No, wait. Hang on. I got a technical question here. Fortunately, okay. Talking to the right guy.
Sure.
What's a browser?
What's a Nubian?
What's a All Nubian? Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
So I have the Patreon app.
Yes.
But it's on an Apple device.
Yes.
Does that mean
if you
Yes, that is what we want you to avoid.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you can have the app, but you should not subscribe through that app.
Yeah, if you purchase it through the app, then the Apple will try to take a giant cut right off the top.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And instead, what you should do is go in to the browser any browser.
Okay.
And go to patreon.com/twobeersin.
There we go.
And select enjoy from there.
That way Brett can get the gas for his Lamborghini all sorted
that's
out.
That's right. It, yes. I am so rich.
Answer
in this
that
job.
I think we all needed to hear.
I don't have enough power. No. So, and also, by the way, you can subscribe through PayPal or Venmo by going putting in two beers in at weightlesspod.com. And you can actually do subscriptions there as well. And I'll be paying attention to that. And I will send you a link to the special patrons side of that as well.
Yay!
Thank you for giving us your money.
Yes.
And hopefully in return.
What levels can they buy?
Oh, so many levels. There's the $3 level. We're still sticking to the $3 level for just let us...
Because times are hard.
Letting us know you exist.
From what I hear.
Three a month. Five a month for if you want that extra episode that we do where we talk just foul mouth.
Yeah.
That's
the one. It's like the director's commentary.
Two beers in after dark. That's what it is.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
So that's the sail ship. All right.
That's right.
Cool. I'm in.
We're going with that.
And then, you know, there are other levels that are there, too. And if you want to become a producer, you can do that, too. And we thank you again.
Yeah.
So now, for the final song that we're about to play, the thing that's funny is Monica and I both know this song. Doug
yes.
does not know the song.
Really?
Doug never knows the song.
He only plays things nobody likes.
It's a good song for summer.
It is a very good song.
It's a good song for a summer night. Hot,
summer
yes.
night.
Hot and steamy summer night.
Yep.
And I found out that the main author of this song was assisted by another gentleman by the name of Martin Page.
Okay.
Now, I know Martin Page from his one-hit wonder in the 90s, In the House of Stone and Light.
Wow.
What I did not know was he also co-wrote some songs with Jefferson Starship, including one of the most beleaguered songs of all time, We built this city. Yes. It's kind of like, oh.
You mean with Starship.
You got Starship.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but he helped to write the song. And when he was working on the song with Robbie Robertson of the band.
Yes.
He was asking, where did this collection of lyrics come from? Where did this idea come from? And Robbie said, well, I was hanging out with Levon Helms in Arkansas, and we were going night fishing, which involved dynamite.
Of course.
And
lots of brains being used already
yeah.
in this
yeah,
story.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, you said I would go out and Levon be drunk, and we'd go out and dynamite fish.
Sure.
And I thought
fishing.
That is yeah, okay, that's a backstory.
But this is a very sultry.
It's a very yeah, yeah.
song.
So he took some of the vibes from the bayou and
sure.
And that's what I always thought it was a song about New Orleans.
Yeah.
But apparently the bayous connect to
yeah, but
Arkansas
is not as sexy as
right. Right. Robbie
New
Orleans. Robertson definitely sexed it up.
You know, screw that. This song takes place outside of New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm going with you there.
Yeah.
I'm going with you there.
It's called Somewhere Down the Crazy River.
Yep.
It's by Robbie Robertson and Martin Page, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And we want you to listen to this. Such a good song.
Yeah.
And but before we do that, I've been Brett Weaver. I've been enjoying my gin and tonic with Angostura Bitters.
I'm Monica Ballard. I've been enjoying a couple of Dos Equis.
And how about you, Nails?
I'm Doug Fills, and I run over stuff, and I drink my Modelo with the questionable limes.
Woo-hoo!
All right, y'all. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Merp.
could see it now. The distant red neon shivered in the heat. I was feeling like a stranger in a strange land. You know, where people play games with the night. It was too hot to sleep. I followed the sound of a jukebox coming from up the levee. All of a sudden, I could hear somebody whistling from right behind me. I turned around and she said, "Why do you always end up down at Nick's Cafe?" I said, I don't know. The wind just kind of pushed me this way. She said, "Hang the rich."
She said, "You like it now, but you'll learn to love it later."